Good morning. I'm not sure if the choir wants to come down or not. Are you sure? Because it's pretty cool. I'm not kidding you. I actually have tested four times in the last, negative, in the last 24 hours, FYI. I just wanted you to know. I have been playing around with our private Facebook group for the past few weeks. It's called Plymouth's Online Connection. How many people are in that? Oh, good. A nice chunk. Even if you are not a Facebook person, this is a pretty fun group to engage. So you might want to just access your account just for this reason. At the top of the page, it says, "Let's organize." So you cannot miss it. Plymouth's Online Connection, the private Facebook group, is about 60 church members, and it has been so vibrant this stewardship season. It has felt a little like a slice of the kingdom of God. I know, right? Nancy DeLapp, is Nancy here today? Maybe she'll be here at the 11. Longtime church member made a comment this week, and she said her dream is that everyone feels the joy of giving a little more than they think they can to a church community that gives so much to so many. That might be one of the best one-line sermons that I've ever heard. Like, we're all done. That's it. Let's go. I'm out of here. But seriously, we do give so much to so many. It is remarkable. This season of stewardship can be hard on a community in some ways. Talking about money is one of those taboo subjects. Most of us think that the word stewardship equals the word money. And more specifically, that it means giving our money. But did you know that the word stewardship is an ethical value? It is recognized as the acceptance or assignment of responsibility to shepherd and safeguard our valuables of our gifts and resources, aka the fruits of the tree. Stewardship embodies the responsible planning and management of our church ministries. This means we are responsible for the fruits of our ministry together. The fruits of our gifts of each other, the fruits of our relationship, and the fruits of our mission. In other words, we have an ethical obligation to take care of our kin. Our kin, meaning this body of people. Our kin, meaning the person sitting right next to you. Our kin, meaning the children that were on the chancel steps. Our kin, meaning FFH. Our kin, meaning New Eyes Village. Meaning our shut-ins and meaning our neighbors. So when Nancy says she dreams of feeling the joy of giving, what I think she means, and how I have interpreted her beautiful mini sermon, is that it is our responsibility and obligation to the kingdom of God that we have been entrusted with. This week I found kinship and a little bit of God's kingdom in our online private Facebook page. I think Jesus would be proud and the Apostle Paul would be impressed with our little kin group created online. It makes life just a tiny bit less lonely in a culture saturated in a loneliness epidemic. We seem to have gone from a viral pandemic to an epidemic of disconnection, or maybe both at the same time, right? stewarding our resources feels more important than ever for the sake of our kingdom. I like Jesus's fruit metaphors and parables. Really, I like any of the lessons that have to do with food and breaking bread together. Sometimes the fruits are on a vine, but this particular passage starts with the fruit on a tree. Jesus said something like, the fruits of the tree matter, i.e. words and deeds. When we take care of the tree and the fruit that we bear, we learn something deeper about ourselves and God. Jesus wants us to go deeper with ourselves, our neighbors, in our community. Jesus wants us to be more connected to all that is sacred and holy. Jesus is inviting us to safer, more transparent, more human, more liberated relationships. He is asking for a countercultural way of life and behavior. And I dare say we can practice this here, but I'm not sure there are many other places we can practice this countercultural community building. Can we be countercultural with our next door neighbor, with the store clerk, or even at school? Can we do that when we are in a culture of divisions and scarcity and competition? Sometimes it is just simply unsafe. This text comes in the middle of Luke chapter 6. Jesus has already been teaching about the Sabbath and leadership and blessings leading up to this verse. He's also reminding us not to judge, like all the good things to be in the world. But in this section called The Tree and Its Fruit, he teaches us about intentionality. In the ancient world, creating good fruit to eat with abundance was really important, if not life-saving. There was not a produce section at the local grocery store, and doing this well and skillfully was a practice of stewardship for that community. So Jesus uses the things right in front of him to make a point. In the ancient world, there were master fruit grafters and their apprentices. Ancient fruit grafting was not merely the art that could be taught. It was one that taught trees. It taught them to be domesticated. Both the wild and the domesticated learned to gain from each other. The rootstock, I know, isn't it kind of complicated? The rootstock imparts vitality and strength to the scion, and the scion imparts fertility to the rootstock. Grafting was a skill set that had benefits to producing an abundant fruit tree. If done well and good with intentionality, it would produce faster fruit production. It would improve disease resistance. It would have consistent fruit quality and increase hardiness. Overall, grafting is a useful technique for propagating fruit trees and improving their overall performance and quality. So it is not surprising that Jesus would use this metaphor of a fruit tree and good fruit and bad fruit to make a point of building up the beloved kingdom of God. Done well and skillfully and with intention, we will create a community of good, yummy fruits. Kingdom work is creating spaces of connection between each of us, so that it multiplies like grafting a fruit tree in the ancient world. This was Jesus's hope. It was not about toxic positivity while managing the Roman Empire or even perceived perfection. It is the intentional and skillful process of being a different kind of place that produces a different kind of fruit. When we hear the words kingdom of God, you may think that it is the place to strive for a heaven-like community. And when you think of the word heaven, you might think of a perfect and peaceful place. But let me be clear, here it is. Here we are, earth as it is in heaven, heaven right here on earth. Because that is not what Jesus was leading us toward. Rather, he wanted us to create a kingdom of very messy, uncomfortable, vulnerable, and deeply human connection. Because that's what his followers needed to survive the Roman Empire. And that is what I think the church needs to survive the 21st American culture. We are in a loneliness epidemic, as Hal alluded in his weekly reflection this past week. You can feel lonely even if you have a lot of people around you, because loneliness is about the quality of your connections. A recent NPR interview said, when you are alone and disconnected, there's more stress and there's more inflammation and there's more anxiety. And that has effects not only on the body, but the ways in which we see each other in community and feel connected to one another. Jesus was attempting to change the entire culture because it would truly liberate people from the assumptions that vulnerability and transparency were a sign of weakness, but rather strength. So here is how I think the intentionality of grafting the fruits of our labor can strengthen our connections at Plymouth. Number one, strengthening our church infrastructure, which includes programs that allow for tricky topics to be discussed, like racism and white privilege and money, mental health, and political divides. Number two, enacting pro-connection at every level of our church governance so that all information is accessible. Number three, mobilizing small groups that address the mental health needs that stem from lack of kinship and kingdom work. Reforming digital environments to elevate our relationship with technology, i.e. social media. Deepening our knowledge of contemporary models of our changing church to create stronger connections. That might be the hardest one of them all, right? And then lastly, cultivating a culture of connection. Aren't those really good? This congregation began with a group of German immigrants. One of our council members, Don Bundy, invited us this week in his stewardship video that we remember those early church members. I hope that we can extend the same comfort and welcome and deep connection that they felt with each other when they came to this country and built this community. My hope is that we continue to be a place of belonging for everyone in the way that young Plymouth did for each other in 1905. My hope is that we have empathy for those who are hustling and working hard, because those are the immigrants that started this community. And I hope that we steward the resources they built to continue unfolding God's kingdom in our midst. A messy, uncomfortable, vulnerable, but deeply connected faith community that Jesus dreamed of. This is why stewardship is an ethical value. We are in this together as our ancestors were in it together. Our call is to be a place that eradicates loneliness and creates radical connections by stewarding our talents and resources. Now, my friends, let's bless our ministry together. Amen.